Well, open your Bibles with me this morning, and we're going to get into the Word. Thank God for, I don't know where Gordon and Martha Dove are, but thank God for them leading worship this morning. Anointed worship, praise God, and leading us into the presence of the Lord. Wasn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. These guys, you got to go meet Gordon and Martha. They have five daughters. And the oldest is 7 years old. Oh, there he is. The oldest is 7 years old. And I'm telling you, these girls can worship and sing. Martha is a twin sister, and her sister's name's Mary. They were preacher's daughters. Amen? Or a preacher's daughters, right. So, thank God. Hallelujah. We're going to Israel. We're having Breaking Barriers next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm not preaching. We're beginning Breaking Barriers meeting. So come on in and let's get on fire. Been watching, following Jim Raley. He's going to be with us Monday and Tuesday night. And I'm telling you, he's been having revival fire in his church. I've been watching some of the meetings. 11 o'clock at night, Friday night, thousands of people, kids laid out under the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm really looking forward to this brother coming, to Courtney coming, Doug being with us. Some of my friends are coming. It's just going to be a great time. Amen? Take your watch off when you come. Leave it in the glove box of the car because we want to move a God more than we want to get home and watch Gunsmoke. You know, that's my go-to thing. I'll get you home in time to watch Gunsmoke. I've said it for years. So I was saying it in Montana. And one of the guys walks up to me afterwards. He says, "We don't all watch Gunsmoke in Montana." I said, "Dude, I wasn't throwing that at Montana people. I say that everywhere." Okay, God is so good. Get in the game. Look at your neighbor and say, "Get in the game." I preached last week about getting in the game concerning your relationship with the Lord. If you're not really serving God, get in the game. If you're cold on your relationship with God, get in the game. Get right. I believe time is short. I mean, I've been thinking recently. I don't watch a lot of news, but I've been thinking about different things I've heard, such as Iran and Turkey and Russia joining together in some kind of coalition. Come on, people. It's the end of time. It's it. Let's make every moment count. Let's work for Jesus while it's day. Come on. Let's get involved and let's get something done. Let's get some people saved. Let's get this church cooking even greater than it is. Let's do about 8 services on Sunday. Y'all said amen. I've got you on record. It's on live stream. I would love to have that problem. Give it to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. That we just had. Why am I saying that? Because I know a church that had to go to 8 services on Sunday, and God gave them the strategy to do it. Why can't we do that and plant some churches and do some mission work? Because it's about souls. It's not about us. So today I want to talk about getting in the game as far as your commitment to the local church. This is the other aspect of it that we don't often think about. I'm going to begin by reading Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing." To declare, say with me, to declare. That's the purpose statement if you're doing exegesis with me here. To declare that the Lord is upright. All of this happens so we can go take the message out. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Can we say amen? Amen. Last fall, Jackie and I was with a minister who has 22,000 members in his church. And we were able to spend 2 days with this guy with a small group of people. And he said something that really shook me. He said, "We did a survey of our people in church, and we found out that on average, folks attend church once every 6 weeks." About 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, Sarah and I went to a conference, and I heard Ed Young Jr. speak. Ed Young Jr. pastors a church of 23,000, and I think that's average attendance on Sundays. It's one of the largest 5 churches in America. He said they did a survey of their church and found out that on average, people in their church are attending church once every 6 weeks. So I'm at the North Carolina camp meeting a few weeks ago, right after that, and I preached and I said it in my sermon. I said, we're facing a commitment crisis because I was with a minister recently who pastors a large church that says his folks attend once every 6 weeks. And after that service was over, several ministers came to me at the altar, some like my age, pastoring great churches, and they said, Hans, when you said that, man, you just described our church. We're having an issue. What's the solution? I said, I don't know what the solution is. Just bring it up, making the problem obvious to you. But I think we're living in an age that it's really difficult. We don't have commitment like we used to. And I know it's going to get quiet in this holiness church this morning, but y'all just hang on. This is the last sermon I'm preaching in this series, and we'll go on to something else fun. But commitment is an issue. Commitment is an issue. One man from Oklahoma pastors a church of 90,000. He has 30 campuses. And he said that he was at a marina one day and ran into a guy who came up to him and said, I attend one of your campuses and I watch you on a video and I've never met you, but I'd go to your church. And the pastor said, man, this is great. It's awesome meeting you. What campus do you go to? And he said, well, it's one over there. He said, okay, do you remember the campus pastor's name? No, I don't, but he's there. And the pastor said, how often do you go to church? He said, well, you know, Easter, a few other times. Howard Criswell taught me a phrase. It's called CEO Christians, Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. And this pastor looked at him and he said, you know what your problem is? You need to stop going to church. You need to stop going to church and you need to get planted in a church. Because some people go to church and it assuages their guilt and they think that's all they need to do and they never get rooted and never get grounded and never get planted. But the Bible said the righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. And the righteous flourish, and the righteous will grow strong like a cedar tree and a palm tree. Amen. Two metaphors. First of all, the cedar tree, one of the strongest trees in the Middle East. It was what God commanded the children of Israel to use the cedar tree in building the temple to the Lord in Jerusalem. Why? Because it was to last for generations. Not only that, you look at a palm tree. A palm tree has a root system that goes down deep enough that it can endure storms in coastal areas. You've seen the pictures. We don't really have palm trees here, but you see the pictures just a little bit south of us, how when a storm comes, those palm trees will lay all the way back, and they come right back. And I've read where palm trees, their root system doesn't go out as much as it goes deep. So we want to be like cedar trees, and we want to be like palm trees planted in the house of the Lord. Because God's highest calling for you was never just to go to church. It was actually not just to go to a building to have service. But God's highest calling for you was to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ Himself. His perfect calling for you was not just to go to a church, but to go out into a dark world and shine the light of Jesus. We could go on with this all day long, amen? You're called to the kingdom, but you're called out to other people. Can somebody say amen? So the righteous shall do what? The righteous shall flourish. What does it mean to flourish? It means to be thriving, to be growing, to be prospering, to be a blessing, to be growing spiritually. That's what happens when you get planted in the house of the Lord. And guess what? A little kicker there at the end. They shall still bear fruit in old age. You're going to be walking in about 95 and you're still bearing fruit. Hallelujah. Maybe you're walking in at 105 and still bearing fruit. Amen? You'll still bear fruit in old age. So a seed, Jesus said the word of God is like a seed. And when a seed goes forth, it has to be planted before it can grow, before it can bring forth any fruit. He gave us the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. And he says, you know, sower goes out to sow, and he sows seed, and it falls upon four different types of soil. The first is hard ground. The seed falls on hard ground, and it never reaches its potential because it never breaks through the surface of the soil. The second kind of seed was a shallow soil. It took root, but it didn't take deep root. And then the sun came out and burnt the plant up. Then he said there was the thorny soil. That seed was sown among the thorns, and it actually took root, and it actually grew decently. But then the weeds and thorns, how many gardeners do I have? You know, I didn't garden. I'd gardened for several years, and I gave it up. But I'm going to tell you what, I was one of the best in Camden County. I'm telling you. I was one of the best at growing weeds. I mean, hardly anybody could grow weeds like I could. But when weeds come up, guess what happens to the good plants? They get choked out. Jesus said, this is like the Word of God. It falls on some hard ground. People come to church and they get a little bit, and then they walk straight out and it leaves them. Some come in, they get really excited, and they take hold to it just a little bit. Then they get outside, and a little bit of persecution comes. Whoop, they're gone. Others get in, and they even get a little further grounded, but yet they get out, and then bills and kids and problems and IRS. And everything else comes, and they give up because it gets too difficult. But there are some that are good soil that get the Word of God planted in their heart, and it takes root, and it's cultivated well, and it grows into great harvest. Can somebody shout amen? Because we are not just going to church, we are the church. Say that with me. I don't just go to church. I am the church. The church is the body of the redeemed, the firstborn. Hallelujah. It's those who have been sanctified, born again, brought into the kingdom, and we are what the Bible calls the called out ones. There's a Greek term used in the Old Testament Septuagint and in the New Testament Greek text called ekklesia. It's a composite of two words, ek, which means out of, and kaleo, which is the verb to call. So God calls people out, and they become the church. He calls us out of the world, and we become the people of God. He calls us out of sin, and we become holiness to the Lord. He calls us out of the kingdom of darkness, brings us in the kingdom of light, where we have illumination and understanding. He calls us out of our former way of life, calls us into a new way of life. That's why we are different than the Rotary Club, than the YMCA, than the Kiwanis. All those are good. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying the church is different because we are a redeemed bunch of people, and when we get together, something unique happens. The blood bought get together, and we don't just do good causes, which are great. We see lives transformed, sicknesses healed, demons cast out, the blind seeing, come on, nations reached, and a whole society transformed. Why? Because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God does a work that we can't do. So man, to be part of the church is a big deal. If you come through our church membership process, we'll tell you at some point during the process, you can become a member of this church, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans unless you're a part of His church. If you're, and all I'm looking for you to become part of this church, basically two things. Number one, are you part of His church? Because if you are, I'm going to identify with that. Number two, do you agree with us? Can you live with us? So are you a part of His church, and can you live with us in the way we believe and the way we operate? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pray here, so just hang on with me. Two type of people come to church. I'm going to call it person number one, person number two. Person number one comes in. They hear the word preached. They hear the music. Something touches their heart. They pray a prayer with me maybe at the end of service or with one of our altar workers. They accept the Lord, and A good work happens in them and change begins to take place. And then they go out and they come back to church, but they never get plugged in. They just kind of spectate and they become worship watchers. And they watch everybody worship. And they never get involved in anything else. And then a few months pass by and I don't see them that much. Because the cares of this life just suck them away from their commitment to the Lord. Then there's person number two. Person number two comes to church and they hear the word and they listen to the music or whatever. Something touches them. Something grabs their heart. They pray a prayer. They accept the Lord. And then they get plugged in. They go to a life group or they go to a Sunday school class or they get involved with a ministry team. They go on a mission trip. They get plugged in and they develop relationships. And then those relationships become strong. And they have people praying for them and they're praying for others. They're pouring out their heart to other people and people are pouring out their heart to them. And maybe they meet somebody for coffee and they talk about the Lord. Maybe they go over to each other's house and let their kids play in the backyard and have barbecue. They start living life together. And then when the storms come and when the trials of life come, that person sticks because that person has a network of friends and relationships that can help pull them through the difficult times. Somebody say, get in the game. It's important to get in the game. It's important to get in the game. I played some high school sports and played sports all through elementary school and stuff. And here's the deal. You know, one man, is this not a golf team? I like golf, but golf's all dependent upon me. And if you're playing with me, you're hurting, right? But if I'm playing for the PGA Championship, I'm going out, and guess what? It's how well I do. It's how well I putt and how well I drive and how well I chip. It's how well I approach the green. It's all me. But if I'm playing on a basketball team, we're five guys and we got to play together or we're not going to do anything. It's like Steve Kerr. You remember Steve Kerr who played for the Chicago Bulls? He's a little white guy that stood out on the perimeter and could shoot the eyes out of the basket. You remember him? Well, he said something. I saw him in an interview one time, and he said, here's the deal. They said, how do you do so well? He said, here's how I do so well. Here's why I do so well. Michael Jordan comes down the court, and he's got three men hanging off of him. He's being triple teamed, and he's handling the ball. And he finally sees an opening, and he passes it to me. I better make the shot. That guy's been fighting three men all the way down court. By the time he gets it to me and I'm wide open, if I don't make it, I'm hurting. Why? We're a team. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I've done church when I didn't have much of a team. And man, was it a bummer. I'd rather do church with a team, you know? And I'd rather do Christianity as a team than as a solo unit. No man is an island. We got to have the body coming together because I don't have all the gifts. I have one or two things I can do well. You've got the rest of it. Amen? And so we need each other to get this thing done and to go across the finish line to win the championship, take this world title. Hallelujah. We're doing it one day. We're going to wear the big WWF belt. And let Satan know we're the boss. I don't know why I say stuff like that, but anyhow. Two things happen when you're planted in the house of the Lord. Number one, your roots grow deep. Your roots grow deep. Jeremiah chapter 17. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The person who is planted is going to be flourishing at all times. The person who is planted is going to produce fruit at all times. No matter how hard the season gets, he's still going to produce fruit. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the devil doesn't mind too much if you just come to church and go home and it has no effect on your life and you don't get involved. But the devil hates it if you come and get involved and it really starts shifting your life and you get your family involved and then church becomes a priority. We've lost it as a priority, I think, in America. It becomes priority. It's like breathing air. It's like eating today. But now we say, are we going to church? Well, let's see, I have 17 other things going on. And let me see where church ranks in that priority. Well, do you say that about breathing? My daughter Sarah's here. Hi, Sarah. And Sarah can tell you when we raised them, there was no option B. Church is option A. Option B, oh yeah, that doesn't exist. So I says, well, kids get, you know, 13, 14, and they got to find their own way. Are you a doofus? They got to find their own path. Find your own way, man. No! Do they live under your roof? Do they eat your food? Do they suck up your HVAC? They go to church with you. Option A, there is no option B. We were with Jonathan Shuttlesworth last week. That's Ted's nephew. And he said, my dad was an evangelist and we had to go to church, you know. He said, the only way out is if we were sick to the point of vomiting. So he said, sometimes we get that sick. And we would vomit. And his dad said, now don't you feel better? Now we can go to church. Jackie's mom told her, said, we're going to church, to a tent meeting. She said, I don't want to go. But you're going to church, but I don't want to go. Well, it's back in the day where all the women wore dresses to Pentecostal church. So she said, well, if I'm going, I'm not wearing a dress. So Jack said she put on white pants and held her legs together so it would look like a dress in church. And her mother drug her to church that night. You know what happened that night? Jackie got saved. I'm glad Jackie's saved. I wouldn't want to know her unsaved. I'm glad she's saved, and I'm glad she's full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad Ruby drug her to church one night and made her go sit there in something that probably wasn't too cool and hip and modern. It was about as old school as you could get. But listen, the Holy Ghost can show up where two or three are gathered in His name. Bring some people out to break. Bring your kids to Breaking Barriers. Get them under the anointing. And let the Holy Ghost do the work. Don't worry about it. You just get them in here and let it go. Let the power of God go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Get under the presence of God and let God. You know, I was amazed when Ted Shuttlesworth came last time. I saw whole families here with their kids sitting there spellbound as that man moved under the anointing and moved in the word of knowledge. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is good for everybody. Well, I didn't plan to say all that. That wasn't in my notes, so that's a free sermon. Y'all can give another offering on your way out if you like. Second thing that happens when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you produce fruit. Your roots grow deep and then you produce fruit. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. These things just start coming out of you as you get planted in the Lord. As you get planted in the house of God, don't be a church hopper. I'm just telling you, don't be a church hopper. Because when you church hop, you don't develop good roots, a good root system. And you don't develop a good trust system with other people. And you don't have the influence you would have if you got planted. And I'm going to tell you something, and it's not because it's Hans, but there's an anointing on leadership in a house. And when you get under that, God blesses you if you remain faithful under that leadership. That's why I'm under authority and I'm under leadership myself. And sometimes things go down I don't like. But you know what? I still submit myself to the leadership of the house, the leadership of my organization. And I fall under that because there's a blessing on that for me. I had a man walk in my church in D.C. one day. And I knew as soon as he walked in, it was going to be trouble. He walked in and he said, I've got a prophetic word for this church. And I said, what church do you go to and who's your pastor? If you can tell me that, maybe we can talk, but still yet you ain't coming in my church and giving a word like this. This is ridiculous. I said, what church do you go to and who's your pastor? He said, I go to the worldwide church of Jesus. My guy showed him out the front door. Because he was a nut. I'm sorry to call anyone that, but he was a nut. Listen, man, get under authority. And then you go out and people know you're under authority. The centurion brought, you know, came to Jesus, said, my servant's lying at home. Jesus said, I'll come. He said, you don't need to come. Why? Because I understand authority. I understand authority that I can speak and my men jump because I'm a captain in the army. I'm a, you know, a centurion in the army. I know what authority lines are about. And Jesus was like, oh my gosh. I've been dealing with all these Israelites and they don't have this much faith. I've not found this kind of faith in all of Israel. This man understands lines of authority and understands this stuff. He says, just speak the word and my servant will be made whole. And in that very hour, his servant was made whole. Oh, hallelujah. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Get involved. Get involved in the church. Get involved in some aspect. There are outreach groups such as Soul Hunters and the missions team, and there's teams that go out on the streets and pray for people. There's groups that do kind of benevolence type ministry. I see Terry Long in here and Tim in here. They got this storehouse ministry, man. It's amazing. They go out and get free stuff and furniture and appliances. They store it and then they give it to people who are in need. And they research and make sure they're in an incredible ministry. On and on. I know some of you guys go to the jails. Some of you guys participate in Kairos, which is at the prison. Other people go out and do amazing things. We've had our staff and other people involved just going out and doing benevolent type ministry. We do all kinds of benevolence that no one even knows about from our church board. There's all this kind of stuff going on. The seniors recently going out giving donuts to people. Jackie and them going to the Coast Guard base just giving snow cones to people. Just we're going to get ready to do Harvest Fest where we're probably going to have 5,000 to 6,000 people here. It's every bit free, every bit a blessing because we're sowing into this community. And I'm telling you what, we're getting ready to reap a harvest. I know it's coming already because we've just been sowing. Somebody shout amen. I got all these ministers coming here from all over the place to be part of Breaking Barriers. We don't charge an admissions fee. We're going by faith. Every bit of it's by faith. I have Kent Christmas by faith. I have Doug Eccles by faith. We'll have Ted by faith. I have missionaries. It's all by faith, and God has blessed us abundantly, exceedingly above all we could ask or think. Get involved in small groups. We're going to launch about 23 to 26 life groups here just in the next week or two. And they meet in homes and they encourage each other. And they're a blessing to people if you get involved in that. Get involved in our Sunday school classes. They're a wonderful way to get in there and learn the Word of God and participate in a community of people. We have visitation teams that go out. And Mike Henley. And we've got Miss Underwood. And we have all kinds of cool things. We have ministry teams you can be part of in the church. Be part of the sound. Be part of the music. Be part of the heavenly choir up there in the upper deck. Be part of the ushers, the greeters. Be part of the parking team. Be part of the welcome center. Be part of the cafe or be part of the bookstore. Be part of children's ministry, kids town, tiny town, nursery. Go, be part of Activate Youth Group that goes on. Be part of the Royal Rangers or Missionettes that meet on Wednesday nights. Come on. Get involved in something. Get in the game and get on the field. Why? Because you are a difference maker. You're the difference. You're the difference maker. Don't fall into that spectator science like we do with like professional sports. We show up and we watch the game and then we talk about, man, he shouldn't have done that. Hand me some nachos. That guy can't run no faster than that. Give me some more Pepsi. Well, you can't run out the front door, but yet you're criticizing the man who's like in amazing shape. Don't get fall into that syndrome where you sit back, well, pastor preached too long. The music, I don't like the style they're doing. I'm going to end right there because I could get really nasty, you know, like I did this morning. But don't sit back. Get involved. Get involved. Hallelujah. Get worship, out-worship me. Out-worship David Dunford. Out-dance Alonzo. Come on, man. I mean, it's like, woo! Church! It's time to get it on and get ready. Hallelujah. I've been out here doing work all week, and I've been witnessing people all week. I don't have to come in and have the paddles laid to me to shock me back to life. No, I've been alive all week, and I'm coming in here now just to celebrate and let the overflow come out of my life and let some Jesus love get all over me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to shout, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to be the best church member in that house. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. We're going to pray. Say, get in the game. Grow some roots. Grow some fruit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have a great bush grape thing in my backyard. And it didn't produce fruit. So after several years, I just cut it down. Guess what? It's back as big as it's ever been. Still doesn't have fruit. But I got some others over here that are rocking, man. And I can go out and eat the fruit off of them every time. Be relentless like that. Maybe you came into church and you fell away from your commitment. Come right back. Come on back. Get involved again. Well, I went to a small group and didn't like it. Well, try another one. Make sure it's not your heart, though. You just don't like people talking to your, speaking into your life. Check your heart and then maybe go to another one. Maybe you tried an outreach ministry and didn't like it. Well, go do something else. We can always recommend nursery for you. And you'll figure out right quick what you're called to do. No, there are people anointed to do that. And appointed, and I thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. Lord, I thank you for people growing deep roots and flourishing as they're planted in the house of the Lord. And God, when the storms come, they're going to make it through them. When the storms come, they're going to make it through them. So Lord, I just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for each and every one in the sound of my voice that you've been speaking as I've been speaking. And God, you're confirming your word and you're convicting and you're pulling and you're drawing and you're doing your stuff. And I just thank you for doing it right now in the heart of every person here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many people in here would lift your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not even serving the Lord. But today I want to make that commitment and I want to give it all to Jesus right now, right where I stand. But if that's you, let me see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's others. Maybe you've grown cold on your commitment to the Lord, but something just touched you today and caused you to say, man, I need to get it back right. Maybe that's you. Let me see your hand. We want to pray for you. Coming back on fire. Thank you. Thank you. Coming back on fire. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray out loud. Father in heaven, forgive me, Lord, for slacking, growing cold. Set me on fire today, Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me in your precious blood. I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I want to serve him forever. Help me find the place to connect, to get involved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody can say amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for these souls that just prayed with us. Yes. Stacy, I don't know if you have that graphic of the highway. But we have a road we call Life Track. And if you accepted the Lord, you start here with a guitar pick. I see it all as guitar picks. Sorry. Go to a Connect class, which where you learn about our church. Then go to a Serve class where you learn where you can get involved in our church. Pastor Roger Stables works every week just working on getting people connected. Get baptized. As we did a communion service this first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of next month, we'll do a baptismal service. If you need to be baptized, tell them at the Welcome Center, I want to be baptized. I accepted the Lord. If you accepted Him and prayed that prayer with me today, next step, go get baptized. Some of you maybe need to go through Living Free. It is a phenomenal ministry. The guys are set up out front in the lobby. This is not just for people with addictions and problems. We've had, you know, all kinds of people go through this, and it's life-changing and transformational. We do it in-house because of the nature of it, but it's an intimate, really private group, and everything's kept in the group, and it takes you about along the path of becoming a disciple and how you can help others to freedom. They're getting ready to start. Get involved in that. Nowhere else get involved in that. Can we say amen? I want all the altar workers to join me here. We're going to close. And Gordon, these guys are coming back to sing. And here's what I want to do. If you prayed the prayer rededicating your life or dedicating your life to Christ, I'd love for you to come up and have one of these guys pray for you this morning. Number two, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, to get in the game and to stick, you're going to need it. You're going to need the power of God. You're going to need to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with His fullness, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to need this gift in your life to make it through the storms. Amen? So I'm going to encourage anyone who says, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. I've never had that experience in my life. I want you to come up and have some of these guys pray for you. Amen? Can we say hallelujah?
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.